Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. Father, we thank you for your anointing on this time, for just a Holy Ghost blowout in this service. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 11 says, He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, talking to the disciples, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. He says, it's given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Do we have any disciples in here?
Yes.
Disciples stay in the Word.
Yes.
Disciples don't just go to church. They take church home.
Amen.
Disciples take the Word home. Disciples understand the power in the Word of God, and they're determined to live off of the provision of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Amen? Last Sunday night, we started talking about Jesus came not to provide food for all the poor. He didn't do that. Nowhere in the Word do you find that Jesus... He provided meals for all the poor people. He didn't come to heal all the sick people that were on the earth. Amen? He did too. He healed all the sick. He healed all the sick that came to Him. Are you following me? What Jesus did, He came to minister the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He came to teach people that there's another realm, another kingdom that you can connect to. And live out of its provision and live above the bondages, the limitations of the natural world.
Yes.
Jesus came to teach about another kingdom.
Amen.
So what he did is when people came to him, he says, okay, you have needs, you have pain. Here, I'm going to give you a taste of the kingdom. Be healed. Are you following me? Sickness, go. Here, multiply the bread. Eat. This is what the kingdom can do for you. But he didn't put them on a meal plan where he gave them all their meals for life. Nor did he say, okay, just keep following me and I'll just keep healing you every time you get sick. He said, I will teach you how the kingdom operates. We brought this out this morning. That he referred to himself as the Son of Man. Not the Son of God. How many know he was the Son of God? But he was also in a man's body. And he came to teach what a man can do that connects with the kingdom. Well, I still think he came to feed all the poor people. Well, there was one point where the multitudes came to him and he started preaching a sermon they couldn't receive. Amen. They came and they were really looking for a free lunch, he told them. You just came for the free food. But he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. In other words, it's not about the meal you can get from me. It's about the kingdom you can connect to through me. Do you follow me? And we're to be those that connect to God and to His kingdom versus just live off of the kingdom's, you know, daily doling out of bits of provision. We're to live out of that kingdom. So when they just came to Him, kept coming to Him for free food or, you know, a touch here and there, He ran them off. It says they all left Him except the 12. And He said, will you go also? And they said, you alone have the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? He made it clear that if you have no desire to follow in the teachings of the kingdom, you won't be able to function in the power of the kingdom. In fact, look at the next verse here in Matthew. It says in verse number 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall not hear, and you shall not understand. You shall hear and not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are full of hearing, dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and on. He says, I'm speaking to you in a parable. That it's going to require your seeking me. Your listening diligently to me to get the interpretation of the parable. It says he taught them in parables, but when he was alone with the disciples, he expounded on the things that he taught. You know, he taught the multitudes the parable of the sower. But when he was alone, he says, now this is what the parable means. I want you to follow me on this. Those that have a heart to be a disciple of God, not just a church attender, not just, you know, declare they're a born-again Christian, but those that really want to follow God and grow in God and fulfill His plan, God expounds all things to. If a person has no heart to move ahead with God, he just wants to survive, you know, through the kingdom, the Word is still going to be hidden or, how can we say, shaded to that person. Their eyes are still going to be dim. Their ears are going to be dull. They're not going to comprehend kingdom truths. But to the disciples, God reveals all things. And they can walk led of the Spirit. Do you see me? So Jesus came to teach about this kingdom. Tonight I want to talk about 5 steps. We're not going to go in depth into them. We're going to talk about, but we're just going to touch on them tonight, about 5 steps of kingdom living. How can I live out of the kingdom? How many believe there's a kingdom of God? Raise your hand. How many would like to live out of that kingdom?
Amen.
Well, understand the Word of God unveils to us how we live out of the kingdom. Go on over to Matthew. Well, I'll tell you what, look at verse... Now, turn to Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, they come to Jesus. Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? Remember this story? In fact, let's go there. Verse 13, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Flesh and blood, natural senses, natural reasoning, has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He had a revelation come to him from the throne of God itself. Amen? Peter got the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. Others were guessing. It became a revelation to Peter. He says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, he says to Peter, he says to Simon, thou art Peter, meaning a stone. And he says, upon this rock, a large rock, I'm going to build my church. Some have tried to declare that the stone or the rock God's building the church on is Peter. That's not true. Peter was not the first pope. Amen. He's a building stone in the overall church building process, construction process. The rock Jesus said, I'm building the church on, is the rock of revelation, of information imparted to us from God Himself. Amen. We have a right to get in the Word and receive spiritual information. Amen. With God being the source. The first step of an individual operating out of the kingdom of God is revelation. God said, on this rock of revelation, I'm going to build my church. You don't advance in God without revelation. Amen. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That word in Romans 10:17 is rhema. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. The rhema of God represents a revealed word to you by the Spirit of God. Amen. And faith comes to you by the Spirit of God. And how do you function out of the kingdom? You do it by faith. I'm moving pretty fast because I'm trying to go somewhere. Amen. God is building His church on revealed knowledge, revelation information. Through history, even from the time of the cross, God has been imparting revelation to His church to grow and develop it. We had a little setback there, you know, about 300 A.D., where for about 1,200 years there wasn't much revelation coming out. They called it the Dark Ages. But through Martin Luther and the Reformation and those reformers that stepped up to the plate in those days, God's continued to reveal information about the Word. And even today, God's revealing more and more revelation about the Word of God. We've been teaching Sunday mornings about the love of God. And we've been on a teaching about that God is expanding our understanding of certain terms in Scripture. When I was first saved, I'd never been to church, so I'm going to all my friends and, you know, other church members and asking them what certain things in Scripture means. And we got to the word grace, and we were immediately told grace was unmerited favor. Or God's grace is giving you what you don't deserve. In other words, you're just a worm, but through grace you can receive from God. Well, since that time, we've expanded our understanding of the word grace. We now know grace is God's provision, whatever's necessary for you to fulfill the calling God's put on your life. Grace is God's provision package for you to fulfill the calling He placed upon you. And everybody has a different grace package. We found out salvation was more than just going to heaven. It was sozo or soteria, meaning the fullness of the life of God, heavenly life manifested in your life now. What we found out is as we expanded our understanding of the true definition of biblical words, it allowed us to step into more of the power of God, more of the provision of God. Because if you don't know what a word means in Scripture, it will limit you. Amen. So the more revelation we get to what words really mean, it expands our ability to live kingdom in kingdom blessings now. And so God is pouring out in these end times further understanding of what words mean in Scripture. The focus has been on this teaching we're doing is that the word God wants to unveil the definition to or the meaning of now is agape. Because when we think about love in the church, we still convert it. Our definition of agape is natural love. It's just when you really, really feel loving. Amen. I looked up the definition of agape in my Greek-Hebrew Bible, which has a Bible dictionary in the back. And their definition of agape was a love that doesn't give a person what they want, but what the giver deems best for the individual. Well, every mother does that. Every mother doesn't give their kid what they want. They give them what they think is best for them. You don't give them, you know, banana cream pie for every meal, you know, for the main entree, right? You give them what you think will help them grow. And that was their definition of agape. That's a natural term. That's a natural definition. That can't be what agape is. It's got to be way beyond that. Because agape's got to be supernatural. It says you access agape by faith. So we have a limited definition of love. So Sunday mornings, we are going to delve into higher levels of understanding of the term love. What's it really mean according to Scripture? And if we can move into higher levels of understanding, we can move into higher levels of manifestation of it. Do you follow me? But it all starts with revelation. You don't move into the kingdom without a revelation. There's even a kingdom to dwell in. I lived my whole life up to the time I got saved. Didn't even know there was a kingdom of God. I lived for 10 years after I got saved, probably before I found out there was a kingdom of God that I could really live out of. Amen? I knew there was a third heaven. I knew there was a spirit realm, but that I could live out of the kingdom of God? Didn't know it. And so, revelation of what the Word provides is the first step of living out of the kingdom. If you don't know what's there, you won't live in it. Because everything in the kingdom is manifested or brought into your life by faith. And if you don't know what's available, you won't be able to connect your faith to it. How do you use your faith to receive something you don't know is there? How many people were saved for years before they found that God wanted them healed? So you lived in sickness. You didn't know. You did not have the revelation of God's plan to heal you. So sickness had its way in your physical body. Amen. Because of a lack of knowledge. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Can we say lack of revelation? The first step to living in kingdom blessing is revelation. I believe we have a responsibility to get in the Word and say, God, show me what your kingdom provides. Every time I read the Proverbs or the Psalms, really all the Word, I'm looking for the blessings. I'm a reward-oriented person. And if I see a promise in there for some part of my life that I'm not accessing, I want to go after it. You know, when I found out I didn't have to be martyred, I grabbed a hold of that.
Yeah.
That was an important word to me. They taught me way early that, you know, it was honorable to be a martyr. You never know when your number was up. And any time, you know, you could be taken out, or when's God done with you? And when I found it, he said I could have long life and peace. It's a promise. I'm grabbing hold of that one. Let somebody else be martyred. I'm going to live for kingdom. I'm going to live for God. Amen. Why? A revelation came that I could connect my faith to. I bought my first motorcycle, Harley Davidson Sportster 1000, off the showroom floor March 1979. Rode it off the showroom floor. Amen. Rode that motorcycle for 10 years like an idiot. That was before I got saved, at least part of it. The first 5 years I had it, I stayed drunk on that thing. 100 mile an hour, 115 mile an hour, passing beers back and forth, just crazy. Amen? Praise God for His mercy. Just praise Him for His mercy. And Mike Huster got on the back with me one night, I tell you what. And when I got saved, and I had a family, I thought, well, a responsible dad can't be riding a motorcycle. You don't want to leave behind a widow, you know, and little orphans. So I sold my motorcycle. Almost gave it away. I sold it so cheap. And then soon after that, I found out God said He gives His angels charge over me to bear me up in all my ways, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Amen. That I had a promise of God. Now, you can believe this or not. I believe it. That God said He would keep me from harm. And it took me, oh my goodness, another 10 or 12 years to get another motorcycle. Confessing and believing God, amen, because by then I'd quit my job. Living paycheck to paycheck. Didn't have money to go buy a motorcycle. The revelation that came to me about God's protection delivered me from fear of being killed on a motorcycle. Are you following me? Now, I'm not drinking and doing 115 miles an hour on it anymore. At least not drunk. And not drinking anymore at all. And I do the speed limit in Jesus' name. Revelation allowed me to live in a promise that gave me liberty. Do you follow me? The first step of living in the blessing of the kingdom is revelation of what God has promised us in the Word. The second step. Turn with me to Psalm. Go to Psalm 1. I'm going to give you 5 steps tonight to living in the blessing of God. 5 mandatory steps, no matter what you're believing for, these 5 steps are always necessary to live in the blessing of the kingdom. And if you can get these 5 steps embedded in your understanding, you can apply it to any promise of God. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Those are 3 things you want to avoid, right? You want to avoid. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." The law of the Lord is talking about the Word of God. His delight is in the Word. "And in His Word, in His law, does he meditate day and night. For he, the one that meditates the Word day and night, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. He brings forth his fruit in the seasons. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper." Do you follow me? The one that meditates prospers. The one that meditates doesn't dry up. The one that meditates brings forth his fruit in his season. Fruit, I believe, has 2 primary representations in the Word of God. One is it's love. Do you follow me? According to Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the other application of the word fruit is manifestation. A tree's assignment is to bring forth fruit with the seed and the fruit, right? God said it in Genesis chapter 1. He created the trees to bring forth fruit and the seed will be in the fruit. So a tree's assignment is to manifest the fruit God programmed it to bring forth. Our assignment is to manifest the fruit of God's blessing. Are you following me? Our assignment is to manifest the fruit of a fulfilled call of God on our lives. So fruit also represents fulfilling the call or manifesting the blessing. The one that meditates the Word day and night will manifest. The one that meditates the Word day and night will bring forth the blessing of the kingdom. Step number two of living out of the kingdom, of becoming a person that's not just hearing about the kingdom, but you live out of the kingdom, is to meditate the Word of God. In particular, the promises of God. Meditate the Word. See, when you get a revelation of the Word, it's in your head. It may be spiritual information, but you have it in your head. You've got a revelation of what the Word of God has promised. But as you meditate it, a supernatural transformation takes place. What used to be Word starts to move down as you meditate it, starts to move down and become part of who you are. I like it this way. Jesus was the Word made flesh. You've heard that, right? We are flesh being made Word as we meditate in it. It says that we are to be those that receive with meekness. I think it's James chapter 1, verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Receive the engrafted Word. See, when you have the revelation of a promise, it's not engrafted. It doesn't become engrafted till you meditate on it long enough that it becomes part of how you think. I'm going to try to give you a few examples here. I'll give you a couple in the natural. Patty took karate a while back, and you guys have seen a Karate Kid, I'm sure, you know, the first one and the second one. And you remember wax on, wax off? Wax on, wax off. And, you know, at first, Mr. Miyagi says, take the cloth or whatever it was, a sponge, and move it this way. Take the other hand, move it this way. And he starts to go like this. He goes, no, not like that. Wax on, certain motion. Wax off, certain motion. The Karate Kid has the revelation, okay, I got to put wax on here. He had to show him specifically how the wax is applied in a particular motion. And so, right away, he's given revelation of what's necessary, but it's not part of him yet. But as he spends all day waxing all those cars, wax on, wax off, paint on, paint down, paint up, paint down. Remember, you guys remember this movie? Later, when he challenges Mr. Miyagi's teaching, he goes through a series of attacks and tells him to use this wax on move, and all of a sudden it starts becoming automatic. Remember that part? What happened? Muscle memory had been created. Reflexes had been established through practicing that. That became part of his response, part of his reactions. Do you follow me? Where all of a sudden, you know, in karate, they teach you certain moves to fend things off, and they teach it over and over and over again. Why? Because they wanted to become reflex. Midra has a great story. Karate. Have you guys heard of the Midra karate story before? Who's not heard the Midra karate story? Would you like to hear it? When she was newly married, she was 8 months pregnant and also a black belt in karate. And they decided to hike across the United States. Was that right? Her and her husband are going to hike across the United States. And how far did you get?
A
You from Kentucky, you got to California or Colorado, I mean?
No, we went from San Diego to San Francisco, and from San Francisco back to Los Angeles, and then from Los Angeles to...
They started on the West Coast, ended up in Colorado. We'll skip all the in-betweens. And a guy comes to rob him. You're at a campground? And a guy comes to rob him. He pulls out a knife, says, give me your money. Her husband says, give him the money. He's got a knife. She says, I'm not giving him any money. You can help me if I mess up the story. And so she disarms him with her karate moves, puts him on the ground, 8 months pregnant. And you had a backpack on. 55-pound backpack on as well. Puts him on the ground. She tells her husband, now I'm pregnant here. I need you to hold him down. I can't stay in this position. Here, you put your knee here or whatever. Hold his arm like this. He won't move. And somebody calls the police. Her husband's got the guy pinned down. The police show up. And the police say, okay, what happened here? And her husband says, well, my wife, you know, started. And they says, no, we see your wife's pregnant. We want to know, how did this happen? How did you get this guy? Well, my wife, sir, we said, never mind your wife. How did this happen? This happened a few times. And finally, the guy on the ground says, listen, his wife beat me up. Will you get this guy off me and take me to jail? Is that close enough? Now, how does that happen? She practiced so many moves that when he has a knife, she immediately knows the counter, the moves, the reflex. Because she had so spent time practicing a moves, she meditated them, they became automatic or part of her. Amen? So probably, 25, 30 years later, if I do this, she know I wouldn't hit her. See, she'd trust me. She's got embedded moves in her from meditation. Now understand, if a person in karate gets away from it, doesn't meditate, it doesn't practice, they'll lose those responses. To some level, are you? May still know it, but it's no longer a reflex. In the same way, we meditate the Word of God. That Word becomes part of how we think. When a symptom hits me, I don't go, oh no, I'm going to be sick. Oh no, this means I'm going to be down for at least a week, if not 2 weeks. Who's going to preach for me? What am I going to... My thought is immediately, because I've been rewired by the Word, is this isn't mine. By His stripes I was healed. Symptoms, pain, runny nose, whatever, get off of me. I don't receive this. Wrong address, devil. Why, in meditation has changed the way we think and therefore changes the way we respond.
Amen.
Do you follow me? And we have the right as kingdom citizens to meditate Word to change how we respond to every situation in life. Our response should always be to react to situations the world poses or pits against us with Word. With appropriate Word. Amen. And meditation causes it to become part of you. That cow, when it eats that grass, amen, that grass eventually is supposed to become part of cow. That grade A beef you eat used to be grass. Amen. But the cow taking in, chewing it, and then swallowing it, and bringing it up again, and chewing it some more, swallowing it, puts in motion a digestive process that what used to be grass becomes assimilated into cow and becomes part of that beef. Praise God for grass being made beef. I'm so glad I don't have to live off grass. That's a type of meditation. Receiving the engrafted Word, the Word becomes part of you. Meditation is really, in my belief, probably the most vital step, or at least the most user-involved step in moving into the kingdom. That you're willing to believe that Word and spend time meditating it until it becomes part of how you think. Amen. I used to battle a failure mentality back before I was saved. Some of you had different upbringings. And I felt when I was young, when I was raised up, I was told I couldn't do anything right. And so no matter how well I excelled, I thought someday it's all going to fall apart. Even when I got to church, got saved, I thought, well, I'm saved for now. I'll follow God for now. But sometime it'll probably fall apart. I'll be a drunk again. until I got the revelation that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not who I used to be, and I can live above the world's temptations and trials. Now I know I'll never be a drunk again. Now I know I'll never be a failure. Now I know, according to the Word, everything I put my hand to will prosper, and God's ordained me to always triumph. What happened? I am not who I used to be. Why? Because Word has replaced who I thought I was. We have a right to live as another person, as we let the Word dominate our thinking. Amen. Meditation is step two in this process. So let's go into the verse on this. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, have you got it? Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by the prophecy, with the laying of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Meditate on them wholly, entirely. Determine that you're going to live as a 100% Word-dominated person. To give yourself to them wholly means you're sold out to it. You're going the whole right. You're not just playing with the kingdom. You're going to live out of the kingdom. Disciples are determined to live out of the kingdom. Disciples also will never be contented with not having all their life submitted to the kingdom. Do you follow me? Or doing it in any fashion halfway. Disciples want all that God has and want to fulfill all of God's plan or call on their life. Amen. And we are called to be disciples. I did a message years ago called Disciples versus the Multitude, where we went through the Scriptures and compared the two. And nowhere do you find out that the multitudes enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Nowhere do you find that Jesus spent time elaborating all the truths of the Word to the multitudes. In fact, He ran the multitudes off. But He spent time personally with the disciples. I want to have personal time with Jesus. Amen? Are you with me? What's step one to kingdom living? Revelation. Ding. Good shot. Ding, ding, ding. Revelation is step one. What's step two? Meditation. Five kingdom steps. Revelation, meditation. Step number three, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's go to verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. How many want to enter in? Not everybody that just says, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that does God's will. Turn to James chapter 1. And as you're turning there, let me touch on this as well. We mention Romans 10:17, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Rhema of God. Hearing and hearing the revelation or the Rhema of God is meditation. You want to build faith? Here's how you build faith. You take a promise of God and you meditate it word by word. You break it down into its components. By His stripes, I was healed. By His stripes. I don't have to take them. He took them. I was healed, made whole, totally delivered from all sickness and disease. And you meditated through your day. I'm healed. Oh, praise God. You said it. You said it. By Your stripes, You went to that post, took every major disease upon your body, every minor disease on your body. I don't have to take them. By your stripes, I am healed. And you just keep bringing that up and up into your thinking. And as you do, it becomes part of you, part of how you view yourself. And faith is developed. Faith is a result of hearing and hearing the revelation or the rhema of the Word. So that as you spend time meditating, faith happens. In the world, they have let something else happen. We have faith happen. Amen. James chapter 1. And once you're in James chapter 1, go to verse or chapter 2. Verse 17, let's just go straight there. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Just because you've meditated and you developed your faith doesn't mean you're going to have a blessing, because it's alone. Faith requires works. I'm going to rephrase this. Faith requires activators. Do you follow me? You know, if you're going to do your laundry, you put the clothes in there, you know, it fills up with water, you put in the soap. And, you know, it can sit in there and soak and maybe do some good, but your clothes aren't going to get clean until that agitator starts. I mean, once that agitator starts, it starts forcing the water through the clothes and everything, the soap, and it's causing everything, you know, to break free and be removed. Well, that agitation, without some kind of work, that soap's not going to do its job fully. Most of you, you know, you guys know I'm a hands-on type person. It's a rarity I don't have grease under my nails. I try not to. I'm trying to be a nice, clean-cut pastor, look spiffy and everything. But I'm always, if something's going to happen, I'm going to grab something to put grease under my nails or dirt. Or my hands are going to be dirty. I would change my motorcycle parts this afternoon just to get here. And so when I go to wash my hands, I'll put the soap on them. You know, put a little soap on them, and I'll put them in the water, and I'll just run into the water. Pull them out, the hands are clean. No, there's going to be some work required with my hands. These hands need lava. Anybody remember lava soap? Wow, only lava can get these hands clean. My voice isn't deep enough to do the commercial. I've got Fast Orange out in my garage. I got Gojo. I got stuff with orange pumice, everything else in it. It's time to get my hands clean. I got to get something with grit and work it. Soap isn't enough. Without some work invested, the soap doesn't do its job. Without you taking certain activating steps, faith is never released. Faith must be released to begin to work and bring you the blessing of God. And I've got three steps of application. Number one was revelation. Number two is meditation. Number three is application. How many remember these from the past?
Amen.
One hand. Application. Application itself has three parts. Part number one is you have to speak the word. Amen. Faith is released through words of authority. You speak. Jesus said this. We've been on this verse all week. We don't need to turn to it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Mark 11, 23 and 24, right? Be thou removed, uprooted, thrown in the sea. If he shall not doubt in his heart, that mountain has to obey. Right? That faith has the ability, if you'll speak it, to cause things to shift. He had just cursed the fig tree. Amen. The next day they come by and it was already dead, dried up from the roots. The moment he spoke, that tree died. It just took the next day to demonstrate the manifestation. Words carry authority. And when you build your faith in the kingdom, your words now have the ability to release kingdom power into your situations. No revelation, no kingdom power. no meditation, no kingdom power. And now no speaking, no kingdom power. So many Christians have such difficulty believing in a faith message. Well, I just don't believe you can do that. Well, that's what the Word says. We've been given this authority. And so they tried. Well, I spoke to the mountain, nothing happened. Well, did you have a revelation really of the power of God available to you? Did you spend time meditating that promise till it became part of how you think? That you really became kingdom-minded, you really became spiritually minded? Or were you just saying words out of your head? We call that mental ascension. You just speak a promise without it becoming rhema to you, without it really becoming where you've meditated, where faith was developed. Never got down in your heart. Words of mental ascension carry no power, at least not kingdom power. But the Word of God that you meditate on it, you meditated as you speak it in faith, connects to the kingdom of God, connects to the provision of God. Do you follow me on this? So step one of application is to speak. Step number two in application is to act. This is just kind of an overview tonight of kingdom living. You follow me on this? Step number two is to act. Again, faith without works is dead, being alone. If you've got the revelation that God wants you healed, that God's already healed you, and one morning you wake up and there's symptoms in your body and you feel achy or tired or nauseated or whatever, amen, and you're thinking, oh, I'm calling in sick to work today, I'm going to take me an off day just to recover, and all of a sudden the revelation comes to you. You have this realization. God said, I'm healed. By His stripes, I was healed. Yeah. Well, if you really believe that Word, then you believe that any moment you're going to manifest that healing as you're standing on the Word. Yeah. Amen. And you're going to come up out of that bed and say, no, I refuse to take a day off. Now listen, if you're contagious, stay home. You follow me? Don't go testing everybody else with your faith. But you're going to say, no, wait a minute, I'm healed. I'm getting out of this bed. I'm going to speak the Word. I'm going. By the time I get out of this house, I'll be totally healed, totally recovered. By the time I get out of the shower, there'll be no symptoms on me. You go get in the shower. You get ready, whatever you got to do, because you're stepping out in faith into what God said. Yeah. Yeah. Now, again, if you're believing God to heal your eyes, you know, where you don't need your glasses, make sure that you're healed before you start driving without the glasses. You follow me on that? Practice watching TV without the glasses. Believe God to heal you watching TV. I can't do that. Oh, you're going to drive without glasses then? Amen. Step number two is to act on the promise of God. You're going to step out as if the promise was true. Amen. You're going to be willing to put everything on the line that this Word really produces. Amen. In fact, I've realized over the years, a lot of times the promises don't manifest until you're really all in. Until you're willing to stand forever for God's provision or His healing or whatever it might be. Faith speaks, and then faith acts. Amen. If you're believing God to prosper you, then start sowing like He's prospered you. If you're believing God to heal relationships, then treat your spouse or whoever it is you've got a damaged relationship, start treating them with love. Believe in God to move in that situation. Act on what God has said. Step number three to walking by faith, or in application, is to stand. Under application are the three steps: speak, act, and stand. Go over to, make sure I get it written down here. I didn't write it down. The Scripture says, it's in Hebrews chapter 10, having done all to stand ye therefore. Having done all, stand. In other words, you've spoken the Word. You've acted on the Word. Now you hold your confession. You stand on the Word. You don't change your confession. You stand on it until it manifests. See, what you can't do is if you're believing God for a promise, you're believing God for healing. Is you stand for, 3 days and say, well, I guess it didn't work. Guess I'm going to die. You can't do that. You keep speaking what the Word says. Even if you don't feel a bit of change, even if you get worse, you keep speaking what the Word says because the Word of God and faith has to be fulfilled. It's a law. And so you stand unto the manifestation. Whatever God's promised, you get that revelation, you meditate it, and then you speak it, you act on it, and then you stand until you see it come into step four, which is manifestation. Drew a blank there for a minute. Manifestation. Step number four in kingdom living is manifestation. Matthew chapter 4. See, what I want to do is create in us an expectation to live out of the kingdom. I want you to know there are steps you can take to live in the kingdom. Can I take a little bit of a bunny trail again? I've taught this time and time again. But my background is engineering. It's logical application. When I go to do something, it's going to be a step-by-step, follow a certain process to get from one point to another. Amen. My mother was sharing, she'd been telling stories on me all the past 2 weeks with my family. They're really loaded up now. She said, when I was 2 years old, I took her stove apart every day. Patty said, how do you do that? And she hit a screwdriver. I took all the screws out of her stove every day. Amen. I'm sure I had a process to go through it in an orderly fashion, even 2 years old. I'm a logical person. Amen. And it is not sufficient for me for somebody to tell me, yes, you can live out of the kingdom of God. God's got promises and blessings for you that you can manifest. I got to know how. Mm-hmm. What are the steps? Not a formula, but what are the steps? Yeah. If God has created this universe we live in now and it's all predictable, repeatable, it all operates by physics laws, then the spirit realm has to be similar and there's got to be different principles that activate that kingdom. And I want to know, what is it that guarantees me kingdom results? See, for me, it's not sufficient for me to spend hours and hours meditating the Word, speaking the Word, sowing into the kingdom, living for God, with hope that maybe someday I'll go to heaven. I don't serve God with the hope that someday maybe I'll go to heaven. Well, if you get saved, if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, someday God's having a big lottery. He's doing heavenly lotto. And if your number comes up, you get to go to heaven. Otherwise, you're going to hell no matter what. That's not good enough for me. I'm not going to follow. How can I say, invest my whole life in kingdom study and kingdom application if someday I don't know if I'm really going to heaven? I've got to know I'm going to heaven. And aren't you glad you have a Bible that promises you're going to heaven if you live for God? Get born again and live for God. You're going to heaven. It's a guarantee. That lets me live 100% for God without fear I'm going to miss heaven. Well, you know what? If I've got symptoms on me that feel like the flu, if I wake up with my head pounding and I'm looking for something to lose my cookies into, I'm not about to get out of that bed, get in the shower, walk around with my head pounding, feeling worse, testing the system if I don't know God's made provision for me to be healed. It can't be hit and miss. It's got to be guaranteed. See, faith understands the promises of God are not maybe, they're guaranteed.
That's right.
And I've got to have a step-by-step process that I understand. If I'll follow these steps, I can live in the kingdom. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. These are the steps to live out of the kingdom. Get a revelation. Stay in the Word till you get a revelation. Meditate that revelation until faith is developed. And then speak, act, and stand on that promise until you see, number four, the manifestation. Are you in Matthew chapter 4 yet? Matthew chapter 4, let's go to verse number 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel, or the rewards of the good news of the kingdom. There's another word we found out that's been misdefined. The gospel. How many have heard before that the gospel means the good news? That's not what it means. The true word for gospel means the rewards of the good news. Oh, see, there's a reward behind the good news. If you live out of the kingdom, there's a reward connected to it. You'll live for God, healing is available. Blessings in every area of your life are available. Amen. You follow through with applying yourself to these five steps, there's a reward connected to it. I am not going to turn off the TV, not watch Tennessee games for 10 years, spend hours and hours in the Word, amen, for a kingdom that doesn't produce. I've got to know there's rewards connected to following God. Not only are there rewards connected, God said He's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. In other words, whatever you'll invest your life in regarding the kingdom, you'll see a result out of it at some level or another. It says, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom, He's teaching the kingdom. He's giving people a taste of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and He healed them. Do you see this? Jesus saw manifestation of the kingdom. Do you believe that? But later in John chapter 14, He's teaching, and He says in verse 12, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. We're to do these works He did. Amen. And greater, He said. Why? We've got more time to do it. Amen. And more of us. We're to do supernatural works. Manifestation is step four. How many want manifestation in your life?
Amen.
How many want kingdom results in your life?
Amen.
See, so many Christians have this wishy-washy mindset of the heavenly realm, of the kingdom of God. That it's kind of like all floaty clouds and angels are up there with harps floating on the clouds, and every once in a while God will throw down a promise to somebody or a blessing here, a blessing there. And if you pray hard enough and cry hard enough, maybe God will, you know, do something somewhere on the world for somebody, you know. And we as Christians, let me just say, traditional Christians do not comprehend that it's an established, predictable kingdom, that if you'll operate in certain fashions and take certain steps, you will see kingdom results. And Jesus said, if you'll do what I do, if you'll follow these keys or these principles I'm instructing you on, you can do what I'm doing. We have got to believe we have a guarantee that if we will follow kingdom principle steps, we will see kingdom results. Again, step four is manifestation. Manifestation of what? Whatever you're believing God for, and you're speaking, acting, and standing with regard to. What is it you've built your faith for? And what is you're releasing your faith for and standing until it manifests? You will see those results in your life. Guaranteed. Because the kingdom of God is a guaranteed producing kingdom. God's not wishy-washy. If, again, you know, I'll use this example. If one of you wants to get on the roof and jump off the roof, don't do it. It's just a teaching example. An engineer or anybody that's been trained in a little bit of physics can tell you how long it will take you to hit the ground and how fast you'll be going. Amen? Just a few little formulas, you apply it, and we're going to tell you other than some wind resistance adjustments, quite accurately, those two answers. Amen. Highly predictable results in this realm. This realm is so predictable we can build instruments or equipment that will fly in the sky and stay in the sky. Are you following me for the most part? We can send a man to the moon and bring him back safely under 45-year-old technology. My goodness, really 50-year-old technology. We can send a man to the moon and bring him back safely. Men to the moon. Why? Because the kingdom is predictable. This natural realm is predictable. Therefore, it had to have been created out of a more predictable realm. Not some wishy-washy, floaty cloud realm, but a predictable realm. And Jesus came to teach us the predictable principles of the kingdom. If you'll do this, this is what you'll get. If you'll speak in faith, you'll see kingdom results. And you've got to understand and be convinced of it before you'll you'll invest yourself in the steps necessary to see these results. Because meditation takes work. You follow me? Meditation means you're setting aside some of your time to do maybe what you don't feel like doing just to get word in you. Amen. Meditation requires you won't listen to the same TV programs or the same radio shows you listened before because they might tamper with your faith. Amen. Or hang out with the same people that are full of unbelief. I would rather hang out with heathen than religious Christians anytime. Heathen, I'd rather hear them cuss than hear a Christian start talking about how God put sickness on them. To me, that's the worst transgression. For a heathen to cuss is not as bad a transgression as a Christian to say God put sickness on you. Or God gave you some affliction. Because the Word says, Jesus said, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. Step four is manifestation. Jesus promises through the parable of the sower, the one that goes out and sows, he will manifest some 30, some 60, or some 100-fold. Oh, praise God, increase in your life. Step number five, we got to get to this for the sake of time. Step number five is restoration. Restoration. See, manifestation may only indicate you receive one promise. Restoration means you didn't leave a single promise unclaimed. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're about to close. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We which have believed do enter into his rest. It says here to fear, not claiming the promises of God. So you can claim the promise of God for prosperity, but not for healing. And the devil's going to make sure he hits you with sickness. You can claim the promise of God for healing and prosperity, but not for your marriage or your family, and the devil will attack your family. Any area of your life you do not have a promise of God acting as a shield of faith against the fiery darts of the enemy, he's going to attack you in. And so the writer of Hebrews says you need to be concerned not claiming the promises of God. Step five of restoration is a result of having claimed all the promises for your life. A disciple is determined to make sure he doesn't just claim one promise, he claims all the promises. Any area of his life he doesn't see a promise manifested, he's going to get in the Word and meditate until he sees that promise fulfilled. Because you want a shield of faith developed in every area of your life. How many of the Lord says we're to take unto us the shield of faith, wherewith we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? All the fiery darts. Each fiery dart has a different name. There's a dart of sick symptoms. There's a dart of lack. There's a dart of oppression, fear, suicide. There's a dart of, you know, drug abuse or alcoholism. There's a dart of divorce or strife in your family. All these darts the enemy throws, each with a different name. And the only way you quench those fiery darts is with the right promise in place that counters that attack. Do you follow me? You just can't claim one promise and think it's going to shut down all the attacks. Well, God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's my shield of faith. The devil's going to eat your lunch. Because only the Word has the ability to annul demonic attacks. So when an attack comes, the shield of faith is not something you just take up in the morning. Well, I just take unto me the shield of faith. You strap it on your arm, you go out the door. I have my spiritual shield on. You can't see it, but it's there. He's going to smack you up the side of the head, left and right. The shield of faith is a result of promises of God being claimed and stood on. So that when the attack comes, you counter it with the Word. Symptoms come, no, I'm healed. Lack comes, no, I prosper. And you speak the verses that correspond to it. Amen. I remember years ago, the devil would attack my wife. I mean, he would slam her up the side of the head, make her feel, you know, like, you know, God had left her behind, or, you know, that he was punishing her and all these things, you know, and she was somehow letting God down. And I'd confess every day, through the day, my wife is a fruitful vine within my house. And my children are branches about my table. And watch as I kept speaking that word, change her responses. What happened? Standing on the word counters the fiery darts. We have a right to live in the kingdom of God. So let me go through these five steps one more time before we close. One is revelation. Two is meditation. Three is, what are the three parts of application? You guys are doing good. I hear 100% coming. Step number four. Step number five. God wants us to live a restored life. But it takes discipleship attitude to move into it. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the right you've given us to live out of the power and strength of the kingdom of God. And we ask you, Lord God, to manifest it tonight.